day.
Good morning, everyone. A blessed and wonderful Father's Day to all fathers and father figures out there. This program is brought to you compliments of Federal Motor Spares and the Church of the Nazarene, Barbados District. Today, on this auspicious occasion, a very special day indeed, we are looking at fatherhood in the 21st century, a biblical perspective. And I have with me two young, wonderful fathers. I have Daniel Jordan, who's currently our Western Zone Youth President. Welcome, Daniel.
Hey, good morning.
And I have Reverend Emily K. Edjo, a young man who's been married for close to 15 years. Wow, the time has flown. A wonderful young man with three wonderful daughters. And Daniel also has two daughters. So, my goodness. Welcome.
Thank you, guys.
Yes. So, question is, how old are your children, Rev?
All right. Good morning, everybody. My daughters are ages 10, 5, and 5 months.
Wow.
So, those are my girls.
Yes.
All right. Good morning, everyone. For me, my daughter is 4, and the next one is 2 years old.
Okay. So, that is Daniel Jordan with the 4 and the 2 year old. And Reverend Emily K with the 10, 5, and 5 months. Yeah. My goodness. And I'm glad I targeted you all. We need to find out more from our young men how it is to be a father at a young age, because I believe you all are still in your early 30s, late 20s, early 30s.
Correct.
My late 30s.
Yeah, that's no problem. That's no young. And Daniel, you are?
33 years old.
33. Well, that's young. That's still very young. And with the current situation as it is, how do you relate to your children? What are the challenges faced in terms of carrying out your responsibilities as a father, especially in these times?
Well, I would say, challenge-wise, the great challenge that we have, or that I would have, it's just relating to time with my girls. And because of the dynamics of what we do in ministry, and I guess Daniel will speak to himself being at work, having time to spend with your girls, or in our case, can be challenging. And the key is to try to be as intentional as possible. Mm-hmm. And I would suggest that for me, that's the biggest challenge, just having that time to spend
to spend with them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They say that the first signs of love from the opposite sex usually comes from the father. And we're dealing with mostly daughters here, you know.
Correct.
And we are finding a lot of aggression amongst our females. We are finding they're just acting wild. Right? And fatherhood is very vital. So bonding with your children are very important. How you all go about it?
I would say, as Emily K would have said before, you have to be intentional. And we have to make every moment count. So waking up early on mornings, for that time when you wake up, they wake up, you meet one another, express pleasantries, you slept okay and whatnot. You know, just wake up and then you have your devotion. And that part was a learning curve for me, because you know they're so young, and my children, as I said before, 4 and 2, they're so young, so reading the Bible every morning or doing a devotional is not going to keep their interest. So for me, I had to find creative ways to, you know, raise them up in the nurture of Christ. So we would have employed watching Superbook, singing songs, you know, like doing things like that, where the focus is on Jesus Christ. And it's amazing what that does, because like in other times of the day, you would just hear your children start up and singing a song about Jesus Christ, you know, reciting a memory verse or something. It's really amazing. Like, they encourage you as well.
Wow.
Yeah. It's powerful. It's powerful.
I think there's a very powerful testimony there, Rev and Daniel, finding different dynamic ways in which, and they're complaining that the attention span of the children are becoming shorter because we're in the technological age and everything.
Yes.
They talk about overstimulation of the brain because they're exposed to these devices for long periods of time. So how do you get the message of the gospel across? And I'm glad that you mentioned that approach. They say that melody and music is the retention of knowledge.
True.
So it's interesting that you use that. What about you, Rev?
And I would say too, like with the devices that they use, the beauty of having these devices is that there are apps that you can use to stimulate your kids as well. So like with my second daughter, Amaya, my wife would read her Bible stories from an app on her tablet. Mm-hmm. So she's there, she's on the tablet, but she's able to still engage with the Bible story.
Nice.
Right? And so she's able then to read along and to say what is going on, even though it's there on her tablet. And it's in a way that is really creative, really engaging. Mm. And so it's on us as fathers and as parents to take on the creativity and to use these devices in ways to let them know, well, look, here's a message about Christ. Here's a message about God. Here's a message about Jesus. And I smile when Daniel said that he would hear his kids singing in the house, because that's the same thing for us. And, yeah. And my oldest daughter, she would call into the radio station on mornings, right?
Okay.
And do the requesting songs and everything.
Nice.
So you're able to see even at their ages because you're planting these seeds in that way. And so that is something that is really wonderful to see when they use these devices and they're able to still learn about God.
Because, I mean, you hear a lot of discussion about the negativity of the technology and devices, right?
True.
But everybody has to remember that God is the supreme creator.
Exactly.
And he gave us these ideas. So it's for us to use them for his glory.
That's right.
So you can use them for good and for bad. And trust me, there are many more good ways you can use the devices other than for the negative. So
that's
that critical.
That's fantastic. Y'all are really giving me some inspiration here. Because there's so much bombardment. Mm-hmm. Like even with the LGBT agenda, which we'll touch on a slick bit later next week. Mm-hmm. And all that's happening within the schools in Canada and the States. And unfortunately, they're looking to initiate it here. How do you as godly fathers, and y'all have started already with the devotions and dealing with it in a real way, know your oldest is 10 years old, what you will call a tween, that group just before the teenage years, which tends to be the more challenging years. How do you see yourselves preparing yourselves as a priestly home? Mm-hmm. To be able to start to meet those challenges and to protect our children too, you know.
What we say, Darren, is that starts, and bear with me, that starts from the time they're born. From the time they're born, you get yourself into these practices of praying for and praying with them.
Oh, yes.
And covering them.
Amen.
When we were small, that's what our parents and our grandparents did for us. They prayed over us. They covered us with the blood of Jesus. And it's on us to do that. With our kids, and as the fathers, if it's on us to take that lead, then we take that lead and say, girls, come, we praying now, and you cover them in prayer.
Hallelujah.
And there's no other way, because the things that are in society, they're going to be there for our children to engage with and to witness.
That's right.
And it's on us. You mentioned the home, Darren, and those groundings start in the home. Steal your children. That starts at home. That doesn't start at school. That doesn't start at church. It starts at home. And for us as fathers, it's to take on that mantle and say, we are going to cover our children. We are going to ground them in God's word from home, from small. And we're going to leave them in God's hands and trust him then that he's going to allow those seeds to grow and to be watered and to develop as they grow.
Amen.
Right? And so that's on us, Danny.
You took the words out of my mouth, because back to the first question that you asked about the challenges, right? I was going to say a culture.
Because
almost everything that culture is putting out is contrary to the word of God, right?
That's right.
And our greatest weapon is prayer.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
And recently I realized that even though that you try to take on things and try to influence things and make things better, sometimes we make a mess of it.
Yeah.
True.
And the only real way for us to be effective is to pray.
That's right.
That's right.
Emelike said that it starts from when they are born. And I'm not correcting him. That's correct. But it would go a step further. It starts even before they are born.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's we true. Have to pray for our unborn children even before they even are taught.
Yes.
Right?
I mean, look at Jeremiah. Yeah. For you know the thoughts and plans that you have for you even before you were knitted in your mother's
womb. Exactly.
I had a purpose for you.
Yeah. So, I mean, we make it difficult.
True.
But prayer, just talking to God, and covering our children in the blood of Jesus, that is one of the single most effective ways to get our children to be successful, not only in the world's eyes, but for God
Hallelujah.
In this world. Yeah.
The word says, train up a child in the way he should go.
Yes.
And when he is old, he will not depart from it.
Correct.
And that's on us as dads and as parents. We are charged with training our children, and not just training them in their 1, 2, 3s, mm-hmm. but training them in terms of Jesus loves you, Jesus died for you, God created you, God formed you, and God has a purpose for your life.
Yes.
And sealing them with the blood of Jesus and covering them.
Hallelujah.
And so that is on us. That's our responsibility as parents, even before pastors and Sunday school teachers, as parents.
The first ministry is in the home.
Exactly.
Hallelujah.
Exactly. So that's on us.
I want to piggyback there on what you said before the womb. And scientific studies have shown that geniuses are even made before they come out.
Yes.
That
yes.
children actually listen and absorb their environment even before they come out the womb.
Right.
It's amazing. So you could even, as you said, you shape them from conception almost.
Exactly.
It's amazing. And the nation of Israel had that mandate to spread the word of God. First of all, it starts within me, loving God with all my heart, mind and soul and strength, and then passing on that to our children. Mm-hmm. Now, because we are aiming to school our children in the word of God, that means that in terms of relationships, no, because we are looking to model godliness and holiness to our daughters and our sons, your children are looking at you as how you relate to even your wives, even to the relatives, your moms, your dads, and so
They're
on,
always watching.
Uncles and your
aunts
and cousins. Arguments that break out, mistakes made, somebody raised a voice, the whole kettle of fish, because things don't always go right. Things don't always go right. So when they see that modeling happen, and you're teaching it because, as you said, they're always watching consciously or subconsciously. They are observing how to relate to you, how to relate to mommy, and how mommy does relate to daddy. Tell me how those dynamics play out for your all aspiring disciples.
Good question. Good question. As I said before, they're always watching. We said subconsciously or consciously. We have to be covered. We need to be covered, right? We need to be employing the practices and the principles of God and to follow Christ, the perfect example. Humility, definitely. Watching our tongue, that is vitally important. The things that come out of our mouths can make or break the children, make or break their relationships, right? So we have to be very cognizant of how we speak to others. As you said in your build up there just now, loving others and loving God. That's like, I believe, the two commandments, right? So everything that we do, it needs to show, even if it's from a position of authority, where it's correction or chastening or whatever, it still has to have a level of love in it.
Yes.
Right? So you have to be mindful. Yes, there'll be times when we get it wrong. But the important thing is to not have the conversation. Like, you will know if your child is troubled from the way you interacted with somebody. Because some children, you see it on their faces, or you will see how they start to behave with other persons when they get in similar situations. And then you will have to say, okay, all right, let's take a step back. Let's look at this. I acted very wrongly. This is not how I should have done it. And you try to address it there. And the important thing is to try to address it from early.
Yes.
Right? Don't let the problem fester. Yeah.
Fantastic.
I'm backing off of what Daniel said, even in terms of how you handle conflict.
Yes.
Because you mentioned earlier, Darren, that children and you mentioned that girls are, they seem to be more aggressive. And for us as parents, when we don't model handling conflict well and right, our children pick up on that too. So then they figure out, all right, I've seen this whole conflict was handled in my home. So this means I have to handle conflict like this at school, right? And so for us, we need to make sure that even when there is conflict, and there will be conflict, that we deal with it in a godly way so that our kids see, well, okay, mommy and daddy have had a situation, but they've handled it in a certain way. So it means this is how we need to handle it in a way that still honors God.
Yeah, fantastic. And what about discipline? I mean, I know that discipline would take place different styles for different stages of the ages. Yeah. I know that we deal with 5 young children. Yeah. Obviously, if I had an older dad here that had a teenager, 14, 15, 16, going up into a big young man or young woman. But in terms of discipline, how do you go about? I mean, I played my football.
There's still a lot to be on cap there. No,
She's at a stage where she wants to keep sucking her finger, so we'd encourage her to take it out. And she still fights and struggles, and she finds creative ways to put back in the finger, and we keep pulling it out. Because the idea is to get her into the habit of realizing this is not a practice we want you to pick up.
How old is this one?
That's at 5 months. That's at 5 months.
I'm still dealing with this at 4 years.
Right? So discipline, the idea of discipline is just about refining how a child behaves. And oftentimes folks just think about lashes and corporal punishment.
True.
But we live in a culture where sometimes when you tell a child you cannot have your device for 2 days, the tears and the disappointment, the distress that comes over them.
That's real heartbreaking.
It's heartbreaking. But I would say, I don't know, I might be a little different. The ladies can't handle when the children crying. I'm not sure if you had that similar experience. When the children start to cry for 2 minutes, they're already ready to give in.
Nah, she good.
But you're right. So like for me, men is like, they start crying, they take away the device or whatever. 2 minutes pass and the lady's already ready to give in. But maybe you realize that just last night, my little one was up watching her tablet, right? And when it came in, I said, no, no, this can't happen. So it's time to go to bed. I said, turn off your tablet and go in your bed. She start crying. And then only 2 minutes passed, not even so much. Oh. And it was like, mommy ready to give, come back out or whatever. But said, no, let me spend the extra, let me say 10 minutes, the most. The house quiet.
Quiet.
And she's sleeping peacefully. You know who was the first boy to wake up this morning?
Her?
The one that makes it last. she had a good rest. You just got put on your foot sometimes. Yeah. And as Emilike said, it's not all about corporal punishment. And I'm learning that myself because my culture was corporal punishment.
Yeah. That's right.
At school, at home, yes, they would have had, you know, a little diversity or whatever. And we have girls. It's not as if we have boys that we can, you know, like, be a little more rough in our way.
Yeah.
So we have to understand how to solve conflict, so with discipline differently effectively.
Yeah. And I'm glad you mentioned that because that was one of my questions. You dovetailed right in my question. How we would have been raised in the 70s, 80s, 90s, early 2000s, as opposed to going into the third decade of this millennium and realizing the shifting dynamics of the society and realizing that yes, the belt worked for us in our time. I mean, the belt could still work. No.
It's still going to work. It's still going to part.
But it's not the only thing. And you realize that the way how our parents raised us back in the 80s ain't necessarily working. No. So, you know, it's good to see the dynamic ways in which you all started to administer stuff and what's not. This is a wonderful Father's Day program. And I must say, we have been getting some real jewels from Brother Daniel and Reverend Emily K. Two young fathers seeking to raise their children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. And, you know, we still have a few good men in Barbados that are willing to raise a generation for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And these are the young men. So any parting words, because you're finding now that parents are having problems disciplining their children. They are having problems trying to get things right. A good set of our families are run by women. There are a few single fathers as well, but they are outnumbered. What word of advice or words of advice would you want to, you know, give to that father or mother out there that is struggling?
Stick in there.
Yeah.
I know it gets challenging and it can be hectic, but once we submit our will to God, once he is our source of strength, just stick in there. Pray, meditate, and believe. I know it's going to be difficult. Sometimes you might only get 4 hours sleep, if so much. But he continues to give the strength. And that is our source, right? So I want you guys to stick in there and be present. Be present. So stick in there and be present. It will pay off. Just continue to raise them in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. And love them as Christ loved the church. You know what I mean? Right?
Yeah. Go ahead, Ralph.
I want to echo what Daniel says. Sticking in there and being present. And don't get too discouraged when you make mistakes. Because we can make mistakes, you know. But recognize that even through the mistakes, those are opportunities for you to still grow and to still connect with your kids. And especially for you dads, be present, be there, be invested in your kids' lives. The rewards that you will reap from that will far outweigh anything else that you can even imagine in your life right now. And so I would encourage you that from this Father's Day, submit your lives to God and allow God to lead you as you father your children, and stick in there and be present, and God will bless you.
Thank you very much for that, because I find that the desertion, unfortunately, a lot on our side. And I'm glad that you mentioned to the guys not to give up, because the children need to have that male presence in their lives as far as possible. I know that there are problems where child custody is concerned, and I don't really want that. That's a separate program in and of itself. But yes, we want the guys to really hang in there. And I can mention one positive note. As I traverse the roads and the cities of Bridgetown, it's heartening to see a lot more of our young men pushing the cribs, rocking the babies in their arms, and really taking responsibility. Sometimes I even see them taking the babies out to the mother's arms and cradling them and stuff. And that is something to be lauded.
Amen.
A father's love, boy. Nothing like it, man.
Nothing like it. True that.
Yeah. And I don't care what a boy tell me. Parenting was meant to be a two-person
job. Correct.
I will go as far as a three-person job. Because you need a Lord for sure. For sure. Even with two parents, and Nicky got three, I only had one at one point, and I had two, and that was real work. Definitely need the Lord.
True, right? I am not taking anything else from our mothers, from our ladies. We love you, we applaud you, but God made it to be a two-person thing for a reason. You cannot get away from God's purpose. And we are just encouraging our men to stay there and to be strong. And that strong family helps to promote strong nations.
Correct.
A strong nation has its building blocks in strong families.
Amen.
And we need strong men to be able to make strong families. And yes, this has been the Because He Lives program for 2023. Happy and wonderful Father's Day to all the great fathers, father figures, even mothers who have fathered. Yes, fathers have that critical, critical role. And as I end, Reverend Emelike, I want you to say a special prayer for our men, for our fathers. I sense the need that we need to bless them today with God's presence.
Eternal Father, we thank you for providing us this opportunity to be able to share across the airwaves of our nation, God, and by extension beyond the borders of our nation, Lord, the beauty of your love and the gift of fatherhood. God, I thank you for this special gift. And I pray, God, even now for every father who's listening to us this morning, that, Lord, their lives will be touched with the power of your presence. God, I pray that you will encourage those fathers, Lord, who may be going through difficult times and figuring that they're on their own, but remind them, God, of the nearness of your presence. Help them, God, to embrace this responsibility, Lord, as you have bestowed it upon them. Lord, I pray that for all the children, Lord, who are longing for that love of their fathers, God, that they would encounter that father's love today.
Yes.
God, I pray that above all, that you will remind us that you are our great father, that you are the one who fathers all. And we pray, God, that today, on this special day, Lord, that the love of the father will be experienced in a real and in a powerful way. So God, move as only you can across this nation, God. Touch every father, every man, God. I pray that they will come into a special encounter with you this morning, God.
Yes, God.
And that their lives will be changed from this moment going forward.
Yes.
And we give you thanks and praise today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Yes. Because He lives. we can face tomorrow because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know who holds the future and life is worth the living because he lives. Have a blessed and wonderful day, fathers. Have a blessed and wonderful day,
Happy everyone. Father's Day.
Happy Thank Father's you. Day.
Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because because